Please join me in the prayer of the day. God of hope, we turn to you. In the darkness, be our light. In the longing, be our hope. In the silence, be our word. May your promise be our light. Amen. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah 64, verses 1 through 9. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, and the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no one has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for you. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But we were afraid of your anger, and we sinned. Because we couldn't find you, we wandered. We have all become like one who is unclean, and our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Still, O Lord, you are our mother, our father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not deal with us in anger, O Lord, and not according to our sin. Instead, be mindful that we are all your people. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Mark's gospel in the 13th chapter. Jesus said, at the appointed time, after much suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon refuse to give its light. The stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the human one coming in clouds, in great power and glory, sending angels out to gather the elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth and the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. When you see its branch grow tender and it put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So, when you see these things, you know that the promised one is near, even at the gate. I tell you, this generation will not pass away until these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. It's like someone going on a journey who leaves their servants in charge of the house, everybody with their job, and charges the watch at the door to keep watching. Because they don't know when the householder will return. It could be in the evening or at midnight or at the first cock crow or at dawn. So keep awake, because about that day or hour, no one knows. Not the angels, not the one whom God sends, but only God. So what I say to you, I say to everyone, keep awake. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a world of distraction, a profoundly distracted society that's over busy, over scheduled, over stimulated, anxious about a lot of things, shallow, obsessed with trivial details. While the true meaning and beauty of life passes by. This is so largely because the great high priests of our worldly religion, which is capitalism, make sure that we want to stay distracted and anxious and buying things and making the proper sacrifices. But that all works because of something even deeper, and that is that we want it to. We want to be distracted. Because deep inside us, there are these voices and these longings that are too painful to listen to. There are these desires in us that are way deeper than just good health and all the kids home for the holidays. It's a longing for a transformed life, for a different world, a new heaven and a new earth, the redemption of all creation. There is this feeling of exile that we have, this kind of homesickness for a place that, for the most part, we've never even been. A place that Jesus calls the empire of God. That's too much to hope for. That's a setup for disappointment. So instead, we keep ourselves distracted. We trivialize it. We back off, and instead, we'll settle for a good sale on the weekend. But those longings are still there. Those desires still churning within us. We keep ourselves busy so that we won't have to stop and listen to them. And because we don't stop and listen, we don't learn that those voices in us, those longings, that yearning, that is God. God wants to be with us even more than we want that. God wants a healed world even more than we do. God deeply desires the transformation of the world. And that desire surfaces in our own deep, unspoken longings. And it's only when we choose to listen that we discover that. It's only when we choose to be still that we find that those voices of want and need are not the faults that we think they are. The flaws in our faith, the failure to believe, that unsettled, unfinished, even unfaithful feeling, that is God longing for more, for deep, true, abundant life. And we pretend that it's not our choice. When people ask us how we are, we sigh and we look off and we say, "Oh, pretty busy." As if we're being tormented by some secret master who forces us to choose to do all that we do. When in fact, it's our own choice. Always. If you want to choose to be distracted, you can in fact use your religion. It's a great tool because it's full of all these rich details that provide endless opportunities to be obsessed with trivial things. But if you really don't want to be distracted, you'll discover that despite all of our desire to trivialize and hide and protect ourselves, the scriptures offer very little comfort. Read the Psalms, read the prophets, read the Gospels. They're saturated with this voice of longing. This yearning for something that they can see, they can smell, they can taste, but it's not there, not yet. No. And there is the tension of this yes and no in all those voices. The prophet Isaiah, who cries out to God, "Oh, that you would just tear open the heavens and come, shake things up. We need that, scary as it is." As much as Jesus talks about peace, he talks even more about longing and unsettled searching and seeking. Notice how many of his stories are about trying things that don't work, about long journeys, about seeking things that require great sacrifice, about relationships that aren't quite right yet, about longing and yearning and reaching and waiting. All of Jesus' teaching is full of this yes and no, here and not yet yearning. And it's only when we can allow that for ourselves that we discover that those longings, that yearning, is what makes us human. It's what connects us with God. It's what gives life. Doesn't threaten life at all. There's a story, almost all of the details of which I've forgotten. There was a woman who might have been German in a faraway place that was somewhere like Chile or Kazakhstan. And she was doing something like scientific research or medical mission or agricultural consulting, something like that, astronomy maybe. What I do remember is that she was in a car with a local driver and a couple other scientist, consultant, doctor people. And at one point they were way far away from any little village on this little mountain road going toward a village or a research station or whatever that thing was in the story. What I do remember is that at one point the driver got distracted by the conversation in the back seat or the radio or a bird or something, just enough to take his eyes off this narrow little mountain road, and the wheels slipped off and the car rolled down this incredibly rocky, boulder-strewn crevice. And the woman was knocked unconscious. And when, after probably a long time, she came to slowly, she gradually became aware of what had happened, and that all three of the other people in that car were dead, and that she was gravely wounded. She was bleeding, and she knew that she could just lie there and bleed to death. And then she heard voices. Voices that sounded familiar. They were voices of children. They were the voices of her own children, who were back home in Germany or Philadelphia or wherever. And they said to her, "Mom, come on." And she so wanted to just lie there because it hurt so much even to roll over and climb out of the wreckage and bind herself up the best she could. And she just wanted to sit down because it was too painful. But these voices said, "Mom, come on." And she crawled back up the ravine to the road. And every time she wanted to just sit down and stop, the voices kept calling to her. And she kept listening all the way down the road to the village where she got help and survived and went home to her children. Those voices, those deep longings, those unsettling desires for something that seems too great to hope for, that's God. That's life. That's the voice of angels. That's your own soul's children calling to you. Stay awake. Don't be distracted. Don't give up. Keep alert. Because the one who has made these promises is coming. The one who gives life is here. The one who transforms everything into a new heaven and a new earth is already at work. Take time this Advent season to stop and listen. You can do all the stuff. You can bake the cookies and write the cards and hang the decorations. But don't get distracted. Remember what you're doing. When you do those things, you're listening. You're waiting. You're being still to hear the voice of your deepest unspoken longings. The voice of God. Standing there with life saying, "Come on. Listen. Stop and listen. Will you pray with me? God of grace, you have filled us with the gift of life. It is your grace that bears us on. And so we listen for that voice that gives us life. And we pray for the grace throughout this Advent season to listen. God, for your infinite life-giving love that unfolds in us long before we know it's there, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.